Book of Proverbs, we're going to read a few verses. That's chapter 3 in the book of Proverbs, starting in verse 1. We want a second to find it. If you would stand with us this morning, we read the word of the Lord. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why don't you bow your heads with us? We look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask Brother Lee Royce again to say the prayer for us. Amen. Thank you, Brother Lee Royce. Looking at these six verses here in the book of Proverbs, it's pretty common. A lot of folks have preached from this. You've probably heard it many times over before. It says in the first verse, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So speaking to the law of God and the statutes that has been left for you and I, it's a wonderful thought when you consider the word of God that we've got for our understanding. It's not always been that way. Understand, we can learn through a little history and reading that this word of God that we have was canonized sometime around maybe 1000 AD, 900,000 AD. Now, the word of God has always been from the very creation. He commanded, give commandments to Adam and Eve. And therefore, the word of God has been, but to have it arranged in such a way that you and I can carry this with us on our phones, in a pocket, you can have at your access the word of God at any moment. The little Gideon Bibles that we see them give out to the young people. One in your car, one in your home, one at your place of work probably. I mean, the Word of God is everywhere. The Holy Bible is all around us. We've heard the Gideons talk about putting them in the hospitals and motels. So we live in a time where the Word of God is so accessible that not only can we go down to the house of worship on Sunday morning and hear the preacher preach about it and hear the Sunday school teachers teach and Wednesday, but we can have it any time. And it wasn't always that way. There was a time when maybe it was read before a temple and the Word of God was hard to come by. The scrolls that was written was not something every house had. And there was a time, even the reason for the English translation, that the Word of God was read in Latin and before the great synagogues and the gatherings of people, and many didn't understand the language, and they would go down on the day of worship and they would sit in the house of God and listen to a word read that they had no understanding what it meant because they couldn't understand the language. And that was a big deal. That's why the English translations that we have, and we talk about King James 1611, William Tyndale, who translated the Word of God before that Bible, even in some of you historians have read, there's different translations. But so that's about the time period that the English translated that we understand it today. So we live in a time that is something to be thankful for, that we can have the Word of God. Yet maybe if we were to look at history, we live in a time where society has drawn away from the Word of God as much as any time, maybe with the exceptions of the day of Noah. I'm not too sure we've not gotten to that place even. Hope not. I pray that we haven't. Imagination's a man's heart evil continually. I mean, how scary is that? But when I watch the TV and I turn the news on and I see every day shooting after shooting and these people and just this morning turning on and six found dead in this house and this happened in this part of the state. And I'm talking here in Kentucky and local. We're not talking about New York and Chicago and places afar. I'm talking here in our own state. And it just makes you wonder to what place we've gotten in society. But it said, "Forget not my law." We live in a time when we should never forget the law. I'm not talking about memorization of the Word of God. I'm talking about the intent of what the Word is. Listen, you can read this Bible verse by verse and memorize it from Genesis to Revelation and not have any understanding of the intent of the Word of God. You can take a verse of the Bible and it can say a whole lot of things that it doesn't mean. If you take a verse and you rip it out of a chapter or you rip it out of a book of the Bible without an understanding of the intention of that word, and you can repeat that into such a way that it's not what it means. You can take a verse from this book and a verse from this book and set them side by side and put some smart, educated people together and they could debate that the word is contradictory to each other, which it is not. So I'm talking about here it says, "Forget not my law," the law of God being the intent of the Word of God. And you need to understand and keep the intent of the Word of God in your heart. And the intent is known when you read it through the wisdom of the Spirit of God. Therefore, I don't expect a lost individual to understand the Word of God. If I sit down and we're able to witness with someone that's lost and have not made a profession of faith with God, I should not expect them to know what the Word of God means. They may understand, they may memorize it, they may repeat it. I know people that don't go to church that repeat the Word of God far greater than I could dream of. A memory that's astounding, and they can just rattle off verses at a time, maybe chapters at a time. But folks, that doesn't matter. What's the intent of the Word? The intent of the love of God that's understood through the discernment of the Spirit of God. It becomes a godly wisdom. He said, "Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Now, these things, if you do, he said, "For length of days and long life and peace shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." What does it mean to let thine heart keep my commandments? If we were to take a poll this morning, how many is looking forward to getting up and going to work in the morning? I hope every one of us. But I expect the answer is probably different than that. How many's ever got up in the morning and pressed on to a place of employment or to earn an income for your family when you didn't want to go? How many's ever kept a job when it wasn't going very good? And it was hard to press on. "Well, Brother Doug, we should all work at a place that we enjoy. We should do something that we enjoy." A man that enjoys his work never works a day in his life, I've heard. How many presses on even when it's not what you want to do? I'm not saying you've got a bad job. I'm not even saying, got a good job, pays well, does good, helped you make a good career for yourself, but sometimes you just don't want to press on because it's tough. There's going to be a hard day maybe tomorrow. But some reason you go on anyway. Obligation, Brother Doug, I'm obligated to go. Yeah, that's a part of it. I had a challenge that probably the biggest portion of the reason we press on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and so forth and so on It's because of love. Because, see, it takes an income. It takes a financial responsibility to be met for my family to have the things in life that they need and that we desire to have a home. It takes some amount of finances. It takes an ability to pay for a vehicle to drive it. It takes an insurance payment, an electric payment, water payment. It takes money to go to the grocery store. And because the family has need for it and the love of my family, then you press on to that thing that maybe you don't enjoy to do as much. I surely we'd all rather go fishing or hunting or golfing or something then we would go down to the place of employment tomorrow. But we press on because the love for our family is greater than whatever the hurdle that we're going to face in that job tomorrow. Now I use this as an example. It said, let thine heart keep my commandments. Because what I've learned over my life is that when we do things out of love, we keep doing them and we keep pressing on. And when I do something out of love, then no hurdle or no obstacle is too big that I won't try to overcome it. But when I do something for selfish reasons and I do something for monetary gain, listen, I'll start looking for ways around the troubles in life. But when it's out of love, then nothing's too big that I won't press on. See, because I love my family, you just press on through the hurdles of life. You go on. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a physical trial that you're facing. We've seen it here in Fairview. I've seen others. I've sat with families. I've heard the word cancer. It's a scary word, church. You hear the word cancer and it scares the person because cancer is a disease that can take your life and take you from your family. And I've watched mom and dads and grandmas and grandpas that hear this word and they're scared. But what do they do? I mean, they're bold. Why? Because their love of the family is greater than the fear of the cancer. Because their love of their wife or their husband or their children and grandchildren is greater than the fear of the physical ailment that they've got. And they're bold in such things. And they attack it. You know, I've never met a person yet that wanted to have treatments. It's not a fun thing to do. I've never had them. I've prayed with some of you that have. I've watched people go through them. It's hard on the body. It's tough on the physical condition. I've had people say, well, I'll not have treatments if I ever get cancer and have treatments. They go back on the word, no, their love for their family was greater than the fear of the treatment. See, their love because they wanted to give more time to their family was greater than the fear of what the treatments might do to their body. When you do something out of love, that's greater than the hardship that's pressing before you, and you'll just go on boldly standing the way. Love's that big. Here the writer says, let thine heart keep my commandment. When you put the commandments, the intent of the word of God into your heart and it becomes what you love. Now listen, nothing's too big for you now because you, through the love of God, can attack the problems before you. What's going on in the world today? Well, they don't have the word of God in their heart. What would cause a man to point a gun at another man and take his life? Because the love of God's not in his heart. What would cause the evil for a man to go out and steal from someone else? Because the love of God is not. What would allow drug addictions to run rampant in our community? Because the love of God is not in their heart, my friend. Why is the love of God not in their heart? Oh, because the word of God has not been kept and the statutes of God has not been kept. They've not went down to the house of worship on Sunday. They've not picked up that Gideon Bible. They've not learned the intent of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. See, if you pick this, I've been on this a lot lately, I know. You pick this Bible up and you pick any other book up and you read them next to each other in the same manner, then you're doing yourself a disservice, my friend. For this Word of God cannot be read and understood like any other book in this world. It takes the spiritual calling of God to have an understanding. Now, the best way to get started is by opening the pages up and start reading with prayer, my friend, asking God to send a godly wisdom, a discernment that you might understand. And the end result, church, is going to be you're going to know what love is all about. See, that's what this whole Bible is. It's a book of love. It's the greatest love story ever written. It's an amazing book. A lot of short stories, if you would, about how to love each other and how God's love is greater than our love. This is a beautiful book of love. And if you read it any other way, you're doing yourself a disservice. Say, but Brother Doug, the Bible is hard sometimes. It chastises me. Isn't that love? Come on, Wednesday night, we've been studying about that. Isn't the chastisement of God, isn't that just love of the Father correcting us? And the beautiful stories of sacrifice, that's stories of love. That's what this word is all about. It's about love. So he said, my son, forget not my law. He said, forget not this word that I've given you, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Live your life out of love. What could come between my love with Amy? Nothing. Nothing. Because that's what love does. Love's not temporary. Love's not a seasonal thing. Love doesn't last for just this long. Love's forever. And God's love is greater than my love with Amy and her love with me. God's love is perfect without spot. I'm going to make some mistakes along the way. She's going to make some mistakes. I'm still waiting for a call. I'll tell you what, she's pretty good, but she's going to make a few mistakes. All the guys are looking at me. I got brownie points. Then I did good. Normally I get the other. I get in trouble. What you don't know is I really just got in trouble, but... See, love is just big enough that it don't go away. And love of family is that way. I'm not talking about the reality. Sometimes you have to do hard things and make hard choices. Sometimes you have to make a stand. I understand that, but the love doesn't go anywhere. Love's still there. Love still stands strong. When you do things out of love, it lasts, my friend, and allows you to overcome the problems. Now, let's go a little further here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You ever considered this own understanding, thine own understanding? How does a child have a disease that is that can't be cured? How's that happen? How's a child born with a disease that's going to take their life in a short period of time? How does a child have such a disease like cancer or heart problems? How can a child be born with such handicaps that they can't walk or use their arms? How does these things happen? With the God that has control over all things, with the God that is loving and full of grace and mercy, how can we look and see these things? You ever asked such questions to yourself? You ever pondered such things? How can a God of heaven, that this world is just a footstool to Him, allow divorce in a family? How can this God allow two people that have married and has children to separate, and those children have to be dragged back and forth if they even see one of the other parents? How can a God of heaven allow drugs into a society of His own people? How can drugs be allowed in that are so devastating that maybe the taking or the use of one can create an addiction in the body that can string you out to such a place that you're homeless and the only thing you're thinking of from the time you wake up till you fall over passed out asleep is how you get one more fix? And for that addiction to be so strong that not even a job can be withstood, but you get to the depth of stealing and selling those same drugs to buy more. How can the very place of worship that people gather together in attendance to praise God have troubles and split the church? How can these examples of bad things happen with a God as big as ours? He said here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, I laid that out pretty thick, didn't I? I laid it out with a lot of examples. I don't know. It's greater than my understanding. But what this verse says is that, let me not trust in my understanding, but trust in God's understanding. I don't know how the God of heaven allows cancer into a child. I don't know how a baby can be born. I'm not sure why that, but I know that I shouldn't trust my understanding, but God's understanding. And then ever so often, I hear of a testimony of a child born without limbs, and they give a testimony about how God has reached down and blessed their life. And I think, oh, that's how it happens. See, because if it was my way, we'd all be perfectly healthy, walking around looking a certain way, acting a certain way. The churches would be busting at the seams and everybody be, but listen, that's my understanding. But God's understanding is far more than mine. So when I start to understand that it's not my understanding but God's understanding, I can start piecing together the problems in my own life when the troubles of life call and I hear the doctor say cancer or heart problem. Now I can understand it's not my understanding that I should trust in but God's understanding, for it's far greater than mine. How can these things happen? I don't know, but God's got it under control. Now, let's not forget the very beginning of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I'm facing a terrible trial, brother. Yeah, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You remember I said, how is it we go to a workplace in the morning that we're probably not looking too much forward to getting up and going to because we love our family and that love overcomes her. Listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and the trials of life you'll be able to step forward and overcome with His help when you know His understanding is greater than ours. Let me back up a little bit in life and I won't be much longer here. Conviction fell in my world and I fought it. Didn't want it, didn't want nothing to do with this thing called church. I did not have time for it. Fast forward through conviction, through accepting Christ Jesus, and there was a calling to stand in the podium and preach His Word. Nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, there's never been anybody more disqualified to teach His Word than I would be. After accepting the calling that I was disqualified for and standing in a podium, the events of life changed. I thought I'd be at Campbellsville forever. I met a man by the name of Brother Donnie Coffey through Revival who invited me to Fairview and just a few months later was called and asked if we would come over as a youth pastor and help Fairview. Nope. I would never dream that to happen because I was loving it at Campbellsville. But the events of life changed everything. Fairview worked out beautiful. You're a great group of people. Love you with all my heart. My wife or my daughter's probably still a little mad at me as the years come. And we had a calling to go to Greene County. Stood and weeped like a baby before you to announce we was going to Greensburg to take that church. Caitlin just didn't get it. I'm not too sure Amy did. Went to Greene County, found a beautiful bunch of people over there. Church was booming and doing good. I couldn't have been happier. This was where God had me to be. Life was great. And Fairview's calling. Fast forward to today. Looking in the rearview mirror, there is no question. This is exactly God's plan, where I'm supposed to be, where I should be. I couldn't be here if I didn't have Greene County. I couldn't have had Greene County if I didn't have Fairview. I couldn't have had Fairview if I didn't have Campbellsville. I didn't want no part of this thing. My understanding, I'm still sitting at home watching NASCAR when it comes on at noon on Sunday morning, having a big time. But that was my plan. God's plan was far greater. And lean not to thine own understanding, but let God work in your life. And looking where we are today, I wouldn't change a single piece of it, except I would have called on His name earlier. See, but God's plan for my life was far greater. Where am I going to be next week? I'm not really sure, but I know this. God's got it under control. Where are you going to be next week? You don't really know, but God's got it under control. And why you're here this morning is because God has aligned the stars up and brought you to this place at this moment to hear this sermon. See, because when the love of God is right here, then it doesn't matter where, what the future holds, you're ready for it. Yeah, you're ready. You ever looked at a young lady? I don't even remember how, what was we, 9, 8, 9 when we went to Greene County, you remember? Too young to understand, too old not to get it. Why, Daddy, did I have to leave my friends? Because that's God's plan for us. I don't want to go. Are you kidding? You've always wanted to go to church. God's plan was bigger than mine. By the way, last night she was out with some friends from that church. Having a good time, right? Destiny. See, God's plan's bigger. He's bigger in your life too. He brought you here this morning first because He wants you to know His Word. His Word is love. And the intent of His Word is nothing but love. And God wants you to have His love in your heart. And when His love lives inside of you, then you and God will plan this thing. And it'll be bigger than anything you've ever imagined. And then He said, look not to thine own understanding. Don't ask why this thing happens, but ask how God's going to use you to get through it. Don't ask why you're facing this, but look and watch God help you over it, my friend, because God's plan is bigger than yours. But it starts with an understanding of His love. It starts with an understanding of His Word. It starts with an accepting of the Spirit of God. We call it conviction. He calls it love, by the way. An assurance that we have inside. Come get us a song, Miss Melody, if you would. See, I